105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Cambridge 105.
Mandy Morton is here because you've come hotfoot from the Arts Theatre, where you've been speaking to Linda Bassett. Many people know her from Call the Midwife, which concluded, I think, another successful run on the BBC this past weekend.
It did on Sunday. We're in deep mourning, those of us that are huge fans of Call the Midwife. We've got to wait until Christmas now for another new series.
How many episodes do they have in an average series?
Well,
of
not
Call the
enough.
Midwife? Yes,
I had that very conversation with Linda Bassett.
Oh, dear. But the main focus, really, of course, has been the production, which is in this week at the Arts Theatre. Briefly tell me a little bit about that before we hear the interview.
It's called Escaped Alone, and it's by Carol Churchill. And Carol Churchill is sort of renowned for some wonderful new writing. I mean, lots of people go to the theatre to see, you know, those same old plays week in, week out. But when Carol Churchill's plays come to town, you know it's going to be different. And we'll hear a little bit about how different it is. But Nicola and I went to see it on opening night on Tuesday. And it's stunning. I mean, I can't think of too many more words to describe it than stunning, and I am still thinking about what I saw.
That's fantastic. And it's a play which is, I think, has already been in London, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. In fact, it's been to the States as well. And as well as Linda Bassett, it stars Deborah Findlay, Keegan Markham and June Watson. The moment that you see them come on stage, you will know those ladies. All of a certain age, which is extraordinary to have this, and literally they just sit there in deck chairs for about 55 minutes, and it is amazing.
So quite short as a play then, really.
So it is.
Just one act, I'm assuming, and not divided up in any way?
No, it is divided up very cleverly into sort of different little bits and pieces. And it's a play that you can't say too much about, but quite frankly, you just need to see it.
OK, well, we better have a listen to the interview.
Alone, for me, it's a masterpiece of writing from Carol Churchill. But you're no stranger to her work. I mean, what's special about her as far as you're concerned?
Oh, that's quite a hard question, because I agree with you. I think this is a masterpiece. But who knows what she'll write next? So there might be another masterpiece coming. Or mistress piece, I suppose we should say. I don't know. She's just a visionary, poetic, intelligent she responds to the world politically and poetically, and I think that's a wonderful combination, and all her plays reflect that.
It's a serious piece as far as timing is concerned. I mean, sentences are half finished. It's almost a game of female ping pong. When I came away from seeing the piece the other night, that's the first thing that actually came into my head. How was it in rehearsal to get that timing right?
It's quite hard to get it right. We took quite a long time rehearsing it because each sentence, as you say, is incomplete. So you have to work out what you would be saying if you were completing the sentence. And sometimes that's up for discussion. It's not immediately obvious sometimes, or you think it is now. I do think it is now. And of course, it was 2 years ago we rehearsed it. So a lot of the things that have happened in the world since had not happened. And certainly when she wrote it, they hadn't happened. Which is why people say she's prophetic. I don't think she's a prophet. I think she's just got her finger on the pulse and listens to what's happening.
You play a sort of a nosy neighbour as your character, but tell us a little bit more about the character. Obviously, you can't give too much away because that's the whole point of this piece. You've got to be so careful how you talk about it. But tell me about your character.
Well, she's called Mrs. Jarrett, and yes, you're right. The other three women have had a long relationship that we think probably started when they took their children to school, you know, meeting at the school gates, and then meeting regularly for tea. So they know each other very well. And Mrs. Jarrett is more someone who's around the area. You know, she's noticeable because of the way she dresses and everything. And so they know her. They've seen her about. Lena says, "Is it that woman?" You know, that's and Sally, who's the doctor, knows her. So she's really comes in as a catalyst because of the things that emerge. They talk in a slightly different way than they would if she wasn't there, because they're each of them showing off a little bit or bringing out their own drama for the newcomer.
They are a series of quite dark monologues, really, executed, I think, to perfection. Almost tongue twisters in some cases. It is an extraordinary sort of beating patter that has to go on. So rhythmic.
It is, as you say. I mean, we always feel like we're playing a piece of music with our voices rather than doing a play, because there's not a lot of flexibility. We need to work as a group rather than as an individual, except for we each have an aria, as it were. But apart from that, we need to keep the rhythm up and keep the pace up, or else it could just all go on the floor. June revealed yesterday in a discussion that there are five full stops only in the group pieces, and each time there's a full stop we can have a pause, but otherwise ideally we keep it up in the air.
You have a different role as well, because you then at points in the play you come towards the audience and you're talking about an apocalypse, which is basically it's a raft of bizarre things that could happen, and yet the strange thing is that they all have chilling possibilities about them. So you have a very different role from one contrast of the nosy neighbour to another, where you come and you break down the fourth wall and you are talking directly to the audience. That in itself is a tongue twister every time you actually push that in.
Yes, it is. It's very interesting to try and do. As you say, it's direct address. I see her almost like a messenger. You know, some of the language of those pieces is very surreal, but they're not all in the future. Some have happened and we know about them, or aspects of them. If you think about Abervan, which a lot of people think about that in the first catastrophe, or Bhopal with the chemicals. So when people have said, oh, it's all in the future, it's not. It's, you know, some of it is happening right now or has happened. All of the catastrophes that I talk about are human-made. They're not natural disasters. They're things that we, as a species, have created through greed, through greed and lust for power, I suppose.
Why should people come and see this piece?
Because it'll make your brain fizz in a way that it might not have done with a more normal play. It's not like other plays. The gaps that she leaves in it are challenging for the audience, so some people can get quite cross, but most people love it. It asks you to supply the missing bits, and of course, as you know, that gets your brain excited. But I would say to people, don't worry about understanding it all, just have the experience, just let yourself have the play, and then, you know, you might wake up in a week and think, I see.
Nicely thoughtful from Linda Bassett speaking to Mandy earlier on today.
It's so difficult to explain the play, but I urge people, if you want to see something a bit special, go and have a look at this. And obviously, I mean, because of Call the Midwife, not just Call the Midwife, she was Queenie in Lark Rise to Candleford. She took her kit off, of course, in Calendar Girls in the main film there.
Goodness me, of course,
so
yes.
So many other things as well. Miss July. In fact, me and her decided whether was she Miss July or was she Miss March. She doesn't know and I can't remember, so there we go. But the full interview where she talks in detail about Call the Midwife and being Queenie in Lark Rise of Candleford is going to go out on our April edition of the Eclectic Light Show, so people can catch up with all the things that they're sitting there seething about. I want to know about it. You know, it's all going to be there.
A residency on Sunday evening television, hasn't she?
It's gone now, though, hasn't it? I mean, what are we going to do? I mean, it's awful.
That'll be fine. There'll be reruns. There's always reruns of
something. And there was someone else in her dressing room, and I'm just going to keep that as a secret, because I was introduced to this person in her dressing room and it was a bit special, so I'm keeping
someone,
that under my
someone
hat.
Else in her dressing room,
sort of,
who,
yes,
who is not in the play,
who lives in the dressing room,
who lives in the dressing room.
Mm.
It's going to be a cat, isn't it? I'm sure it's going to be a cat. We'll find out on the Eclectic Light Show next month. Mandy Morton, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We'll take some Lucas Graham and then we'll do some travel and then we've got movies.